At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
All right, so the objection is sustained. Next question, Mr. Waheed.
Sir, did you observe Tim be affectionate to Ronan?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
Did you ever observe Tim disciplining Ronan?
Yes.
Did you observe an interaction between them where Tim was not disciplining Ronan?
Yes.
Would it be fair to say that they, in your mind, that strike that? Did Ronan show affection for Tim?
Objection, relevant.
Yes.
I overruled. I'll allow that question.
Yes.
Did you ever observe Tim disciplining the other children in his family?
Yes. Yes.
And just so we're clear, you knew Tim and you were interacting with Tim during 2017, correct?
Correct, yes.
2018?
Yes.
And into 2019?
Yes.
Until his child, Ronan, left Immaculate Heart and went to another school.
Until they left for Florida, I believe.
Okay, so even when Ronan switched schools, you were still interacting with Tim and his family, correct?
Correct.
No other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Waheed. Any cross?
Yes, sir.
All right, Ms. Black, you may proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good afternoon.
So you stated that you kind of became friends with Mr. Ferriter back in 2017?
Correct, yes.
Okay, and you both coached your daughters in basketball?
Yes.
Okay, you stated on direct that you had seen Ronan's room, right?
Yes.
And that was inside of the house?
Correct.
And that was before Pierce had been born, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so you don't know where he was living after Pierce was born?
That is correct.
You also stated that you did not see a structure in the garage, right?
That is right.
Okay. And you didn't really have any contact with Mr. Ferreter when he had decided to move to Florida?
Aside from a few text messages wishing things like Happy Thanksgiving, no.
Okay. So you never went to his house in Jupiter back in December of 2021?
That is correct.
You never saw where Ronan was living at that time, right?
That is correct.
You never saw the structure where Ronan was living in, right?
I'm sorry, one more time?
You never saw the structure that Ronan had been living in
2021? I did not.
And you weren't made aware of how the defendant had been disciplining him at that time, right?
I had not been made aware of any specifics.
1 minute, Your Honor.
Granted.
I have no further questions.
All right, any redirect, Mr. Waheed? All right, thank you, Mr. Waheed. Mr. Johnson, that concludes your testimony. Is this witness now excused?
Yes.
Okay. All right, sir, your testimony is concluded, so you can go ahead and sign off Zoom. Thank you for being here. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Ms. Murad, Mr. Waheed, call you next witness.
That's called Sav D. Barzani.
And Mark, when you come in, you can go ahead and change the input on the screen so the jury's not burdened with the Zoom link.
That the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All right, Mr. Waheed, you may begin at your convenience.
Sir, can you state your name and spell your last name for us?
Sev Debizati, D-E-B for Bob, O-R-Z-A-T-T-I.
And where are you? Where do you live?
I live in Melbourne, Australia.
And how do you know, Tim Ferreter?
Yes, I do.
And how do you know him?
I met Tim when we were at seniors in high school in 1992. I was an exchange student, and I met Tim then, and we've been friends ever since.
Where was that?
That was in Milford, Michigan.
Okay. And over the years, you and Tim have interacted continuously, correct?
Correct. We've probably seen each other on 9 or 10 occasions in person, and we've stayed in contact via phone and FaceTiming with our kids and so on and so forth.
And your children know his family, correct?
Correct.
And you actually visited his house in 2013, correct?
Correct.
And then again in 2019, correct?
Correct.
So I'm going to take you to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2019, tell me if you remember approximately when in the year did you visit his house?
It would have been July.
All
Right. Sir, move up to the mic just a little bit closer and speak a little bit louder. I want to make sure you're getting accurately recorded.
Sorry, July.
All right. And where was that home?
That was in Sedona.
The home was in Sedona?
Yes.
Was the home possibly in Tucson?
Tim's home was in Tucson, but when I first got there, we went to Sedona.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with Sedona. So you were with your family?
Correct.
And how many children do you have?
Three children.
Okay. When you went to Sedona, were you with Tim's family?
I went with Tim. Tim met us in Phoenix. We drove up to Sedona to meet Tracy, Nola, Ronan, and Fiona, okay, and Pierce.
And where, what type of structure did you all stay in?
It was a two-story home. Tim and his family stayed on the top level, and my wife and my kids stayed on the bottom level.
And do you know who, where did Ronan sleep during that time?
Ronan slept in the master room with Tim and Tracy.
And how long was that time that you guys were in that house in Sedona?
Approximately 5 days.
All right. It was just a vacation in Sedona?
Correct. We went there. Fiona had a softball tournament. So obviously Tim and Tracy took her around to all the softball tournaments that she could play. And it was a big one. And they invited us to come down and spend some time and do that. So we went down there for the softball tournament. Yep.
All right. Subsequent to Sedona, where did you all go?
We hired an Airbnb in Tucson, 2 or 3 minutes from where Tim and Tracy live.
Did you on that trip have occasion to go to Tim's house?
Yes, I did.
And when you went to Tim's house, did you look around the house?
Yes, I did. Tim showed me around.
And did you interact with Ronan on that day?
Yes, I did.
And what, if anything, did Ronan do?
Just normal kid. He spoke to me and showed me around, showed me his room, as all the kids did, and was happy to show me and was excited and showed me his toys and books and so on and so forth.
And where was his room?
His room was in the garage.
All right. And did you have any occasion to see Ronan interacting with your children?
Yes, I did.
And one of your children is a special needs child, correct?
Correct.
And what's that issue, if you can tell us?
My younger son has autism.
All right. So in the interaction that you observed between Ronan and your children, did anything occur that concerned you?
There was an incident in the pool where, you know, Ronan would be overly aggressive, duck the children underwater and hold them down there for a little bit and so on and so forth. But I mean, I was there, so I was there to protect and look after them, but I wouldn't have left my children alone if it was just Ronan and the kids.
So don't kids play like that, putting their heads underwater, that sort of thing?
I think when both of them choose to do it together and they play, this was more just one pushing the other down against their will.
And with your special needs child, did that give you any extra cause to pause?
Just maybe keep an extra eye out just to make sure everything was okay, and I kept an eye on where he was and where the rest were.
Were there decisions made about going out for dinner or things like that with the Ferreters that factored in Ronan in any way?
We always went out together, so we never left any of the kids behind. We're always as a group, as a family. We went out together, we ate together, we swam together, we played together, we did everything together as families.
All right. One moment. Going back to Sedona for a moment, was there ever an incident there that happened with Ronan that caused you concern?
When we were leaving and we were packing up and I guess checking the house before we left, we noticed there were knives missing from the kitchen. So we started to look for those to make sure we put those back and find out where they were. We couldn't find them. And then Tracy went into Ronan's bag to have a look and found the knives and brought them back. And we put those away. So there was probably a handful of knives that were missing and found in Ronan's bag.
No other questions.
Any cross? All right, Ms. Black, you may proceed.
I just want to get your last name right. It's Mr. DeBrazzati?
DeBrazzati, yep.
DeBrazzati, okay. So when did you first meet Mr. Ferreter?
1992.
And you've been friends ever since?
Correct.
You stated that you visited his house back in 2019?
Yes.
And this was after the vacation you guys had taken to Sedona?
It was right after.
Okay. So you stated that you saw Ronan's room, right?
Correct.
And did you stated that it was in the garage?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see if there was a bucket in there?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did you see whether or not the door locked from the outside or the inside?
The door was open, so I was unaware of any lock.
Okay. Did you see if there was a light switch inside the room?
I didn't look.
Was there a bathroom inside of that structure?
There wasn't a bathroom in the structure, no.
Now, you stated about an incident with the kids in the pool?
Yes.
Okay. And isn't it a fair assessment that they were just horseplaying in the pool?
Yeah, like I said before, I would normally say that if there was two interacting together and playing, but this was more one imposing his will on the others. The girls didn't really want to play. They didn't want to be ducked or really horse-played, but he continued to do it. So,
how old was Ronan at that time?
I think he was 11.
So he's basically being like the annoying older brother at that point.
Annoying and yeah.
But you were there to protect them if they needed to be protected.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have left.
You also talked about an incident with some knives?
Correct.
Okay, and the fact that Tracy had taken them from Ronan?
From his bag.
He didn't threaten you with those knives?
No.
He didn't threaten the kids with those knives?
Not that I'm aware of.
He didn't threaten Tracy with those knives?
Not that I'm aware of.
It's just that he had the knives and she took them out of the bag?
Correct. Yeah. So I don't even know if he knew how long he had them for.
Now, did you ever visit the Ferreter's house in Jupiter in 2021?
No.
Okay, so you don't know what the living arrangement was at that time?
No.
You don't know if there was a similar room that there was in Arizona in Jupiter?
No.
Woman, Your Honor?
Granted.
I have no further questions.
Any redirect, Mr. Waid?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, looks like you do, so you may proceed.
Sir, would you have left your kids with Ronan unsupervised?
Objection, relevance.
Absolutely not.
Overruled.
I'm sorry, sir?
Absolutely not.
And why not?
I would think it would be unsafe.
Thank you.
All right, is this witness testimony concluded at this point?
Yes.
Excuse me, sir, that concludes your testimony. You may step down. Thank you for being here. Call your next witness, Ms. Murad or Mr. Waid.
At this time, the defense called Dr. Stuart Graham.
And you're doing the direct, Ms. Murad?
you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, Ms. Murad, you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. No worries. Sir, could you state your name for us, please?
Yes, is the microphone all right?
Yes,
it is.
Stuart Graham, like the cracker, G-R-A-H-A-M.
Dr. Graham, could you take us through your educational experience?
I can. I have a baccalaureate degree from the University of Texas at Austin in microbiology. I have a medical degree from the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, Texas. I completed 2 years following medical school, postgraduate training in anatomic pathology at Case Western Reserve in Cleveland, Ohio. I am a pathologist by training. The one part of after medical school of training in pathology is called anatomic pathology. That's the specialty of pathology that most people think of as being real pathology, where you perform autopsies, you receive specimens, you look at those specimens under a microscope, and you then reach conclusions regarding disease. Following completion of 2 years in Cleveland, Ohio, in anatomic pathology, I then completed 2 additional years of training in clinical pathology at the University of Texas Health Science Center in Houston, Texas. Clinical pathology is another branch of pathology which deals with the study of disease in human beings. It differs, though, in anatomic pathology, in that rather than looking at portions of the body, either with the naked eye or under a microscope, the disease processes rather are studied by the use of laboratory tests. And the part in clinical pathology deals with the implementation of laboratory tests and the interpretation of laboratory tests. Following those 2 years, so now we're 4 years following medical school, I completed a fifth year of training after some time in the subspecialty of forensic pathology. I completed that training at the office of the chief medical examiner in the city of New York. Forensic pathology, as you may know, is the area of pathology which deals primarily with the interaction of disease and injury in the human body. And as such, forensic pathologists are often asked to make determinations with regard to what natural disease did a person have, what injuries did they have, and what was the result of those natural diseases and or injuries. I would say that the injuries can be of a variety of sorts. They can be, of course, violent, either with a hammer, with a knife, or with a gun. But injuries can also be those of withholding things, such as food. It's possible to starve a person to death. Following completion of that fellowship, I then after that sat for the American Board of Pathology certifications and passed those my first time in anatomic pathology, clinical pathology, cytopathology, and forensic pathology. After completion of and receipt of my certifications, I've been active for the past, gosh, I am old, 30 years in both the 30 years in the performance of surgical pathology, which involves the study of specimens from live patients, and for 13 years in forensic pathology, which, as I said, is a little bit different of a specialty, which involves the inclusion of injuries as well. At this time, I most recently now work as a forensic pathologist in a variety of capacities. I do per diem work. Most recently, last year, I was at the university. I was in Webb County, Texas, on the Rio Grande, working as a medical examiner for 3 months, which, as you can guess, was probably quite busy. I also perform private postmortem exams on behalf of families and hospitals. And finally, I do consultations both in civil court and in criminal court, as we are here today.
And in this case, were you hired by my firm to review some records and come to an opinion regarding a particular issue?
I was.
Okay. Could you take this jury through the records that you reviewed?
I will. The records I reviewed were the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office of Offense Report, the Children Protection Services Report. There were some photographs associated with the Children's Protective Services Report. There were health records from JFK North. There were also pediatric records from Infants and Children's, which is a large group of pediatricians, which took care of Ronan. And I believe that's about it.
So I want to talk specifically about the Infants and Children's records. What years do those span?
Well, the records span, the records span from the time that Ronan is eight years, 8 months, up until the time that Ronan is 13 years, 3 months, or thereabout. Other words, approximately from June 1 of 2016 until December 21st of 2021.
Based on those records, what is your opinion regarding Ronan's nourishment, health, and weight?
Based upon those records, it's important to note that the records include within them a calculation which is endorsed by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. And the assessment of nourishment is a national importance in pediatrics, there's a standardized way of doing it. And for each child, for their particular sex and their particular age, a calculation is performed that's called a body mass index. Well, we can call it BMI for short, but the importance of the BMI is that it takes the person's height into account and their weight to give a calculation so that for a person's sex and age, you can compare an apple with an apple. So that you're not comparing a child's weight without relationship to their height, which obviously would cause obvious problems. BMI then, which is endorsed by the CDC, those records were included in the ones that I reviewed, and there's a chart, and the chart shows that in 2016, when he was 8 years, 8 months old, his BMI was had a numerical value of 40. Later, in December of 2021, his BMI had risen to a value of 56. Now, it's perfectly fair for you to ask me, well, what does 40 mean and what does 56 mean? It's actually quite simple. For a BMI of 40, it would mean that at least for boys of his age, which would be 8 years, 8 months, at least 39% of the boys would weigh less. For a BMI of 56, it would mean for his age at that time, which was in December of 2021, that at least 55% of the boys would have a BMI of less than 56. That clearly, by the definition of the Center for Disease Control, means that Ronan's BMI was completely normal, in fact, right smack in the middle.
What does that tell you about, I mean, is there any evidence of malnourishment in the record?
No, there is not. By the records that I reviewed, Ronan's most recent BMI of 56, he has a weight at that time of about 113 pounds, 4 ounces. In order to be judged to be not of a healthy weight, he would have to lose over 18% of his weight. So he's well outside the guidelines for being underweight.
Okay, and is it fair to say that there's no evidence in the record that he wasn't being fed?
Sustained, rephrase with a more specific period.
In the records that you viewed from 2016 to 2019, you said there's no evidence of malnourishment, correct?
Yes, I said there is no evidence of malnourishment as judged by the BMI charts. For the question that you just alluded to, when people are deprived of food, they lose weight, and that mathematically causes their BMI to decrease so that then it is no longer within normal range.
And based on the records that you reviewed, which again are from 2016 to 2019, is Ronan regularly being taken to the pediatrician?
Yes, although the records actually, I think, extend to 2021.
Thank you. No further questions.
All right. Any cross? All right. Is this witness excused, Ms. Morant?
Yes.
All right, sir, that concludes your testimony. Thank you. You may step down. Have a good weekend. Okay. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, that means that we're going to conclude the proceedings for today. As I've already given you the heads up, we'll start back on Tuesday. We're going to start at 9 o'clock sharp on Tuesday, so check in with the jury office no later than 8:30 and be up here at the elevators meeting mark at 8:45 for 9 o'clock sharp start time. And the schedule next week will be likely as follows. Tuesday will go from 9 to 5. Wednesday, likely from 12 to 5. And then Thursday, if that's necessary, it would be another 9 to 5 days. So that's kind of the schedule that I'm anticipating. There's still a little bit of movement potentially in the Wednesday schedule as I get more visibility when I get into next week. But that's the current and I know you're probably not totally confident in my estimates anymore, but that's my estimate for next week. All right, so you do, Monday's a court holiday, so you won't be back on Monday, obviously. It's going to be 3 days. So during the 3 days, rest, relax, and sun. Hopefully the weather is good this weekend, but make sure that you do everything possible to avoid any inadvertent media exposure during the what's going to be the long weekend, holiday weekend for us. So with that, I wish you the best, and I'll see you back on Tuesday morning. Same courtroom. All right, everyone may be seated. Okay, so my expectation based on what I'm hearing is that the defense will likely rest on Tuesday. Is that a fair assumption or fair estimate on my part?
I think it's a fair assumption,
Doug.
I am working on some videos that we want to play.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not holding you to it. The only reason I raise it is that because it's at least a possibility, then we need to come Wednesday armed with the necessary jury instructions in case you do rest early enough in the day. Now, if you finish late in the day, we would not start closings. I would wait until the next day to start closing. So let me just for planning purposes, has either side given thought to how long they think they're going to need for closing arguments in this case? At least an hour and a half. All right, so about 3 hours. So if we finish the evidence on Tuesday, then if I start at noontime on Wednesday, that gives plenty of time for the closings to occur and then for the jury to have the case for a couple hours during the day Wednesday. And I've already set aside the entire day Thursday for deliberations if they need it. So, all right, well, that's the plan for everyone. Same instruction to you guys. Go home, rest as much as you can and relax, and I'll see you on Tuesday morning for a 9 o'clock sharp start time. And I don't have a morning docket next week because I was supposed to be on vacation. So that's all right. So I'll be starting at 9 o'clock sharp. There won't be any built-in delay because of my morning docket is what I'm letting you know. Okay. All right. I'll see everybody next week.
There's more to come.
Kid in a Cage. Florida versus Timothy Ferriter from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Press subscribe now.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.